So the topic of my sermon today is, do you and I know who we are? Because we so often that question by giving our occupation. You know, I'm this or I'm that. Well, what happens when you retire and you're no longer this or that? And, you know, Jesus knew who he was. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. I'm the good shepherd. I'm the door. He knew who he was, and he wasn't talking about what he did. So often we talk about what we do. I have two pictures beside my bed that I look at each night before I turn in, and they're two pictures of Dad. One is probably within his last 10 years of life. It was before he had cancer. So he was healthy and he was laughing. I think it's a picture of him eating a dessert or something. He always said, I don't eat many desserts. But when he'd come over, wouldn't he, Adam? He'd say, I'll take one of each. And so, you know, but in his mind, he didn't eat many desserts. And then the other one was when he was about 30. And he had a thick, dark, wavy hair like Pastor Adam there. And he had what we called back then a pompadour. Remember that? Those of you that are older, it went way up in the front. So he had this big head of hair. And that's how I remember him growing up. That's what he looked like. And I remember when I was taking him for his cancer treatments, he would make different comments that would make me think because he was thinking. He knew that if he didn't win this battle, he was going home to be with the Lord, and he fought for a year and a half, but he didn't win the battle in the physical realm, but he's with the Lord. And he said one time, you know, I look in the mirror and I see this 80-year-old guy, but inside I don't feel like an 80-year-old guy. He said, how'd this happen? And I thought, well, that was a funny thing to say. Well, I'm 63 now. And when I look in the mirror, I go, how did I get to be 63? Because I remember being 30-year-old husband of Stacy and father of three little girls. And now all of a sudden I have 9 grandkids. I'm going, like, how did that happen? So which is the real me? The 30-year-old? The 63-year-old? Then I realized, okay, so just like my father was saying, we're body, soul, and spirit. So however old this thing keeps getting, and he was 80 and fighting cancer, the real me inside, the spirit, never changed. It's still the 30-year-old guy, the 40-year-old guy, the 50-year-old guy, and now the 60-year-old guy. And, you know, we have a soul, which is our mind, will, and emotion, but we have the spirit part of us that God created and knew all along. And Marty stole one of my verses already. I love when you all do that. Because we're all hearing God saying the same thing. So do we know who we really are? That's the question today. In Genesis 1:31, it said, and God saw all that he had made. Behold, it was very good. He looked down and saw mankind and said, very good. Then the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to cultivate it and keep it. The Lord God commanded the man, saying, from any tree of the garden you may eat freely, but from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat it, you will surely die. And that word means you will surely be separated. There will be a death. And that happened, of course. Then the Lord God said, it is not good for man to be alone. I will make him a helper suitable for him. And all of you ladies are saying, amen. You men need us, right? Out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the sky and brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And whatever the man called a living creature, that was its name. The man gave names to all the cattle and to the birds of the sky and the beasts of the field. But for Adam there was not found a suitable helper for him. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and he slept. Then he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh at that place. The Lord fashioned into a woman the rib which he had taken from the man, and brought her to the man. And the man said, "This is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called, woe, man, because she was taken out of man. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother, be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And the man and his wife were both naked and were not ashamed." So you know what happened, right? They had this close relationship with God where he walked with them and talked with them in the garden. And that's the relationship he wanted to continue. But they chose instead to believe the lie of the enemy. And choosing the lie of the enemy, they sinned. And so that relationship was broken. And we're going to look at that in a little bit. So I wanted to just set a foundation, a groundwork there of where we are going. So are you and I really our occupation? Are we really just what we do or what we don't do? Are we defined only by our relationship? I'm a husband, I'm a father, I'm a wife, I'm a sister, I'm a brother. I would propose to you today that our identity is decided by the one who created us and by our relationship with him. Just like God wanted that intimate daily relationship with Adam and Eve, that's what he wants with us. And so he says, will you believe what I say about you, or will you believe what others say about you? Or how about what they say to you? Will you believe the truth that God said about you and I, or will we choose to believe a lie that the enemy speaks to us? In Isaiah 44, God says, "I formed you. You are my servant. So says the Lord, your Redeemer, the one who formed you in the womb." Jeremiah 1. Now the word of the Lord, okay, is the word of the Lord truth? Oh, let's try that again. Is the word of the Lord truth? Okay. The word of the Lord says, "Behold, I formed you in the womb. I knew you. And before you were born, I set you apart and have appointed you." Does it sound like he had a plan for you? Does it sound like he knew you? The real you. Whether it's the 15-year you, old you, the 30, the 40, the 50, the 60, the 70. How old are you, Marlon? 83. All right. My mother's 84. So we have some of those in their 80s. He knew you. Jeremiah 31. He didn't just know us. "I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, I have drawn you with loving kindness." Come on. Isn't that something to be thankful for? We're in the season of Thanksgiving. "I have loved you with an everlasting love." Jeremiah 29. "For I know the plans I have for you." Oh, no, wait a minute. So he's not wishy-washy about that? He actually has plans and knows those plans? Well, then maybe part of what we're about is making sure we're finding that out. We're asking him, "What is your plan?" Okay, so for me, I'm 63. What's your plan for 63-year-old me? It might not be the same as when I asked when I was 40. Are we asking now? "I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope." How many people in 2020 are saying, "I hope we have a future and I hope we have a hope"? And you can say, in God, you do have a future and you do have a hope. Because they're not going to find it anywhere else. everything they're hearing and reading just makes that hope seem to be further and further away. Call upon me and pray to me, and I will listen to you. Seek me and you will find me. So we belong to the Lord. That's our identity. We are His. He specifically designed you and made you. Whether you like your nose or not, your hair color or not. You know, I liked it when I had more hair. I'm not sure, you know, where it's all going, but it's going somewhere. But He specifically made you and designed you. Lord, another 3 inches in height would have been nice. He has plans, good plans for you. Okay, so let's jump back. Remember I said earlier, Adam and Eve chose to believe the lie of the enemy instead of God, and they chose to sin, and that separated them from God. Romans 3:23. All have sinned and fallen short. All have sinned and fallen short. That word fallen short means to miss the mark. You did not reach the standard of righteousness that you were supposed to reach, that you needed to reach. Everyone. What? How about people who went to church from the time they were born? Everyone. All have. But Romans 5:8, one of my favorite verses, because it starts with, but God. See, that's the miracle working God that we serve, is the but God. The doctor says this, but God. My checkbook says this, but God. The newscast says this, but God. The people on Facebook say this, but God. Right? But God demonstrated. He didn't just feel it. He demonstrated His own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Now, come on. That means while we were still separated, while we still were going our own way, while we were not yet reconciled to Him, He so loved us. For God so loved the world. Doesn't say He so loved the church. He so loved good people. He so loved people who go to church all their lives. People who never lied or people who never stole. It says God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever. God is so inclusive. That doesn't mean you're automatically saved. I'm just saying He doesn't have any. No, sorry, you're not included in that. Whosoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. God provided a way of forgiveness and a way of reconciliation. Religion, on the other hand, teaches you that you have to do something to find a way, to provide a way, to be reconciled. But that is not God's plan. He provided the way. Romans 5, just a couple of verses from there. But God demonstrates His own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than. As exciting as that is, much more than, having now been justified, having now been made right by His blood, by Jesus' blood, we shall be saved through Him. Come on, we shall be saved through Him. Therefore, just as through one man, sin entered into the whole world. Adam's sin caused sin nature to go through all of mankind. And death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all have sinned. But the free gift. But the free gift. See, you didn't earn it. You thought you earned it. You didn't earn it. But the free gift is not like the transgression. For if by the transgression of the one, many died, much more did the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abound to the many. Abound to the many. Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ, our Lord. So our choice caused the separation because we have all chosen to sin, but God made a way. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. How thankful are you today for what Jesus did for you? How thankful. How thankful are you that Father God so loved that He sent Jesus? So regardless of what lies the enemy may have told you, regardless of what you tell yourself about who you are, regardless of what others may have said to you, you belong to God and you're His. In Colossians 1, Paul says, we're praying for you, praying for the saints, praying for the believers, that they may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that they may walk in a manner worthy, pleasing the Lord in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, giving thanks to the Father, who delivered us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son. So we once were sinners, we're now saved by grace. We once were in the kingdom of darkness. We've been transferred to the kingdom of light. So we now belong to a new king. We're now part of a new kingdom, kingdom filled with light. And the scripture tells us that the kingdom of God is, okay, people say, well, what is the kingdom of God? Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. So if you're not experiencing righteousness, peace, and joy, then you're not living in the kingdom of God that He wants you to be in. You've somehow been influenced by another kingdom, because His kingdom looks like righteousness, peace, and joy. Okay, so let's think back about that relationship that God had with Adam and Eve. Did He create them because He wanted slaves? Because He wanted servants? No, He created them because He wanted a family. He wanted relationship. He wanted someone to walk with and talk with. Romans 8 says, you've not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you received God's Spirit when He adopted you as His own children. Adopted you as His own children. Now we call Him Dad. Father, for His Spirit affirms to our spirit, His Spirit affirms to our spirit that we are God's children. So the Holy Spirit living inside of you is saying to your spirit, don't forget, you're God. You're part of His family. You belong to Him. You are loved by God. He has a plan, a good plan, for your life. Anything else that you're believing is a lie. Is the written word truth? Yes. So I felt today to actually read a whole chapter over you, because I felt like there were some truths in here that were going to wash away some lies. Are you okay with that? All right. This is John 17. And I wanted to read it out of another version. That's why my phone was up here. All right. Much easier than carrying 12 Bibles into church. Okay. John 17. Okay. After saying these things, Jesus looked up to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, so that he can give glory back to you. For you have given him all authority. He gives eternal life to each one you have given him. And this is how to have eternal life, to know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, the one you sent to earth. I brought glory to you here on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. Don't we want to all be able to say that? God, you gave me things to do, and I did everything you asked me to do. Now, Father, bring me into the glory we shared before the world began. I revealed you to the ones you gave me from this world. Jesus is still doing that. You can ask him, Jesus, reveal the Father to me. Reveal truth to me. These were always yours. You gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything I have is a gift from you. For I have passed on to them the message that you gave me. They accepted it, and they know that I came from you, and they believe that you sent me. And then he prays for us. You know, he's still doing that. He's our great high priest, sitting at the right hand of the Father, interceding for us. I love knowing that. Because some days I just get frustrated enough or discouraged enough, I'm like, I don't even know what to pray. And I think, oh, Jesus is praying for me. And the Holy Spirit helps me know what to pray. So my prayer is not for the world, for those, but for those you have given me, because they belong to you. All who are mine belong to you, and you have given them to me, so they bring me glory. Now I'm departing from this earth, but I am coming to you. Holy Father, you have given me your name. Now protect them by the power of your name, so that they will be united just as we are. Think about that. Jesus is praying that we would all be united in purpose and mind and function and love, the same way he and Jesus are. Is he and Jesus united? Only one person thinks so. Father God and Jesus united. I know we ate a lot of cookies and we ate a lot of turkey. My whole family got together yesterday and made their 10 kinds of cookies and 10 dozen of each. So I sampled way too many cookies, but we'll try to keep alert to the word here. During my time here, I protected them by the power of the name you gave me. I guarded them so that not one was lost, except for the one that was headed for destruction, even as the scriptures prophesied. Now I'm coming to you, and I told them many things while I was with them in this world, so that they might be filled with joy. See, when we read the word, especially Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and what Jesus said and what Jesus did, we should be filled with joy. So sometimes I know I just have to go back and read it again, even though I've read it, I don't even know how many times, 30, 40, 50 times, I go back and read the Gospels again, because I need to be reminded what Jesus said and what he did, so that they would be filled with my joy. Come on. I have given them your word, and the world hates them because they do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. But I'm not asking you to take them out of the world, but to keep them safe from the evil one. Remember, that was in the prayer he taught his disciples to pray. They do not belong to this world any more than I do. Make them holy by your truth. Teach them your word, which is truth. Just as you sent me into the world. Now listen, just as you sent me from heaven down to earth, I am sending them into the world. So when you walk out your front door, when you walk out the door today, you're being sent on a mission by Jesus. come on, and I give myself as a holy sacrifice for them so that they can be made holy. Who are we really? Part of God's family? We're holy, we're washed, we're justified, we're cleansed. I am praying not only for these small group of disciples here with me today, okay, I added all that there in the middle, but also for all who believe in me through their message. Okay, who's included in that? Anybody here today? You believed because of their message? I pray that they will be one. Here we go again. They will be one just as you and I are one. As you are in me, Father, and I am in you, that they may be in us, so that the world will believe that you sent me. When we are in unity, when we love one another, they'll know they are Christians because of their love. The world will believe that you sent me. I have given them the glory you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. I am in them, and you are in me. Wait a minute, where's Jesus? In us. May they experience such perfect unity that the world will know that you sent me and that you love them as much as you love me. Come on now, that needs to be a refrigerator verse. He loves us in the same measure he loves Jesus. Come on. I'm going to read it again. That's so good. And that you, he's talking to Father God, you love them as much as you love me. Come on. Father, I give these whom you have given me to be with me where I am, that they can see the glory you gave me because you loved me even before the world began. O righteous Father, the world doesn't know you, but I do. And these disciples know that you sent me. I have revealed you to them, and I will continue to do so. Come on. Mike, is he still revealing and still talking? 2,000 years later. So when he said this, he didn't mean until 1999. Okay. 2020. Still doing it. I have revealed you to them and I will continue to do so. Then your love for me will be in them and I will be in them. Come on, that's some good stuff. If we need to remember who we really are, this is where we get that from. That's my identity. That's your identity. Your love. I'm love. You're part of the family. I'm part of the family. Do you believe that today? Amen?